And now, back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. And now joining Dr. Michael Roizen is renowned plastic surgeon, Dr. Arthur Perry.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. We, of course, had the Automega segment earlier where we talked about alternatives to statins in the new guideline, with omega-7 being an alternative. And this half hour, we have the best. Arthur Perry, do you know what eczema is? Arthur, what's eczema?
Well, Mike, who doesn't have it? You know, it's so common, I would venture to say that probably about three quarters or more people at one point in their life have eczema.
Is that right? Now, three quarters of us?
Well, sure. You know, eczema.
Would I notice?
You probably would. Maybe
what
a little dandruff.
What would it show up as? What would it look like on me?
Well, it could be a little dandruff. It could be some redness to your skin. Maybe a little bit of a redness around your hairline or your eyebrows. But Mike, it could be even more than that. Eczema is such a broad term. You know, we talk about it, you hear about it on TV, but eczema is a cover term that includes contact dermatitis. Who hasn't had that, right? Who hasn't had poison ivy? It's technically a type of eczema. So eczema it's a really big term, and it gets confused. What's very common this time of year, Mike, is something called seborrheic dermatitis. Seborrheic dermatitis, that is the one that you get around your hairline, around your eyebrows, on your face. It's a kind of a reddish, oily, rashy thing, and if you scratch it, it can become a wound and can become infected.
What's the difference between seborrheic dermatitis and eczema?
Well, seborrheic dermatitis is a type of eczema, technically. So eczema is a cover term. Again, it includes, you know, contact dermatitis, contact eczema, it's called, and also the dermatitis, seborrheic dermatitis. But Mike, seborrheic dermatitis is actually a type that has a particular type of fungus associated with it, and I know
not that
you love to say
name. Not that
yes.
Crazy name. you told me this crazy. We looked this up last year, and it was the craziest name that I'd ever heard of anything.
That's right.
So
that name is Malassezia furfur.
Yeah, that's it.
It's a very funny name, but not so funny. It's probably not a cause of seborrheic dermatitis. But it is probably associated with it. So it's a fungus. And that's why seborrheic dermatitis responds to antifungal drugs. So if you have it, you know, it's a kind of a complex thing. And so many people get it this time of year. And the reason they get it this time of year is because it gets better in the summer. Sunlight is good for it. So as we get into November and the cold months and the tornadoes of Cleveland and New York, we get these skin conditions. We're not getting enough vitamin D, and we're not getting sun exposure. And so seborrheic dermatitis is very common. So what do we do for seborrheic dermatitis? There's also, by the way, a psychological component to it, by the way, because it kind of starts out as maybe a little bit of itching.
What do you mean by psychological component? You mean we get it more if we're anxious about it?
Yes. And in fact, patients who have some psychiatric disorders have a much higher chance of having seborrheic dermatitis. It's very, very common. But we're just talking about mild anxiety disorders, seem to make it worse. It's a complex disease. So it's partly a skin disease, almost an allergic type of thing. It's partly caused by this fungus, and it's made worse by scratching and psychological factors, stress. So there was a study that was just done, and they looked at the safety of ketoconazole. That's an antifungal drug, right?
Yeah,
it's been around.
What ketoconazole is
been around for a long time. So it can be in shampoos. I think one's called Nizoral. And it's in the family of antifungal drugs, and they've had people on these things for as long as a year and even longer, and there does not seem to be any bad side effects, because we're not talking about taking a pill. We're talking about putting it in a shampoo or putting it on your skin, and it's a lot better than putting a steroid cream, which, by the way, a lot of people who get real flare-ups do use a steroid cream, and it calms it down. But we don't want to do that for too long, because it can have side effects, can get absorbed, can thin the skin. So this is the time of year that these eczemas, these seborrheic dermatitis, really begin to flare up, and it is important to control it. Now, one of the things we can do, by the way, Mike, is use a moisturizer for any of these types of eczema. They all seem to help. I'm not a big fan of moisturizer if you don't have one of these problems. But good moisturizers, particularly ones with those things called ceramides, those are helpful in eczema and in seborrheic dermatitis. So just some hints. This is the season for it, as it is the flu season.
Now, where do we find a moisturizer with ceramides? What do we look for?
Well, we have to read the labels, and it's very, very difficult, because you don't know the levels, and no one will tell you the levels.
Well, yeah, it's impossible. I've looked at moisturizers, and it just doesn't, many of them don't even have the ceramides on the label.
Right. So if they don't list it, they don't have it. And the reason they don't, Mike, is because they are very, very expensive ingredients.
The ceramides?
They're cheap when you're, ceramides, I'll tell you how expensive. They're $4,500 per kilogram. I know that because
I have. How much is a kilogram on your arm?
Well,
in other words, how much do you use on an arm?
No, well, you would use only teeny tiny amounts. We're talking about a kilogram. I could make, 1,000 bottles of this stuff. But the point is, it's a very expensive ingredient, so for let's say an ounce of this of a moisturizer, which is a typical amount that someone would buy. An ounce of a moisturizer, the ceramide alone in an ounce will cost about $1.50. Now, if you put that in perspective, Mike, you might say, well, that's not a lot of money. But if that's only one of the ingredients, and there's many ingredients in these things,
how many ingredients are there in moisturizers?
Well, it depends on the moisturizer. They're a blend. I have a particular moisturizer, and I have a blend of a couple dozen different fatty acids and ceramides and squalene and cholesterol.
Well,
yes, cholesterol.
Can't cost the same thing, 12 of them. That would mean that the wholesale price is like $15, $18.
Well, the most expensive ingredient in those is the ceramide. And then something, these phospholipids, another big word, squalene, those are very expensive ingredients. So when you look at moisturizers, you can go to the pharmacy and find these giant tubes of this glop that you put on your skin, and it costs $6 or $5. Those are going to be much lower quality moisturizers, things with mineral oil and things like that, which are very inexpensive. But they don't help your skin too much. Yes, in some ways they can help. But the good moisturizers simulate the sebum in your skin. That's the normal oil. And by the way, here's a little tidbit for you, Mike. If you use a moisturizer, it should have vitamin E in it.
Okay, when we come back, I'm going to talk to you more about what to look for in a moisturizer, as well as how to treat, if you will, eczema. Do you put it on every day? Do you put it on twice a day? Do you put it on four times a day? Do you keep it on? Do you wrap it in saran wrap or plastic covering? What do you do for it? When we come back, we're going to question Dr. Perry, because that's what you want. You've sent the emails. You can always send us emails at udocs@gmail.com. Call 877-711-5211. udocs@gmail.com. We're on Radio MD and iHeartRadio, but Radio MD right now, radiomd.com. Stay well.
Hi. Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
Sometimes people buy cookies as a gift for us to send to our soldiers. They tell us it reminds them of home.
Emily is one of thousands of Girl Scouts who will send cookies to troops stationed overseas.
Children shouldn't have to take abuse because they aren't strong enough to escape it. I want to give them a helping hand.
Alicia uses proceeds from her cookie sales to provide mentoring programs at a shelter in her community.
Selling Girl Scout cookies has taught me how to manage money, be responsible, and talk to other people.
Tanya wants to go to business school and hopes to run her own company someday.
On a visit to the food bank, I learned that in this economy, more and more people need help to feed their families.
Morgan and other Girl Scouts are starting a project to help get food to those who need it most. Every Girl Scout cookie has a mission: to help girls do great things. Find your cookies now at GirlScoutCookies.org.